for us. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. We're in the study of Philippians, and I'm finding this a pretty exciting study. I love the book of Philippians. It's such a great, uplifting book. But you know, sometimes I feel like I experience absolutely no peace in my life. Do you ever have those periods where you just feel like there's no peace and it's all about anxiety and that kind of thing? And from time to time I wake up, and I think I've talked to this in the past before, but I wake up and I obsess about things, and I can't seem to control, and so a lot of times I'll wake up and I really didn't do that much until we started building this building, and then all of a sudden there were so many things coming at us. A lot of times I just rolled right out of bed, went downstairs, read my Bible, prayed, went back to bed, and went to sleep, and wrote it down to make sure I'd remember it the next day, all those kind of things. In fact, you know, it was getting so bad, I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put a little list in a pencil by my bedside, and so when I wake up, I'll just write her down and go back to sleep. Oh, no. I can't wake up enough unless I get up. And so that didn't work very good. And then I would write some things down in the morning. I would think, what did I write down? You know, it was just pretty crazy. So I looked up in a personality test information to see how my particular temperament reacts. And it says, well, when I'm under stress, I obsess. So I have that working against me as other things, and I realize, you know, I'm not a victim, but it's just that there are times where it's tough. You know, and I go back to the time while we were putting in the kitchen and trying to get all of the equipment organized, and, you know, I make probably two dishes. You know, I make an Alfredo and, you know, ravioli for myself once in a while and breakfast, you know, toast. And you know, I don't do a lot of cooking, so I always don't know all the appliances that are needed. So I'd wake up in the middle of the night thinking we don't have a toaster, or whatever. And I remember we were coming up on it, and I think, man, we got to get licensed by the health department, and oh, we need a tax license for the coffee bar. And you know, I thought, we only had 2 weeks left, and I thought that might take 3 weeks to get. And Kathy Bloom went down there and got it on the same day. You know, and I think, what am I worried about? Thank you for that hand. You know, so I look at all those worries and it doesn't matter. The building's built and you still find ways to worry. And my goodness, you know, at times I wake up and like I say, I go down and read my Bible and pray and start thinking about something else. And I'm glad that's over. That was, you know, there are times, seasons that we go through that are more stressful than others. But I think that we all experience, at times, lack of peace in our life, and yet we're supposed to have peace, right? We're Christians. And so I want to read our passage this morning, and I want to jump into the subject of peace because I want to give you a little bit of relief in this issue. So if you're Philippians 1:1, I want to start reading. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's two ways to look at that. Paul is either saying, dear Philippians, how you doing? You know, that's what we do in our letters, right? How you doing? Put a question mark, and that's kind of the intro. And so is Paul doing that, or is he really saying, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, because we need peace. And he's being truthful through the Holy Spirit. And so why is Paul extending, and I think he's actually extending that he wants us to have grace and he wants us to have peace, even though we already have grace. And we already have peace. And it almost sounds like double talk. So I think Paul's extending that peace to us that we're supposed to already have. So turn to Romans 5:1, because I want to establish the fact that with God we do have peace. And the Bible says that you and I absolutely have that peace. And yet, I have to be honest, there are times when it escapes me. And so let's read 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace. Okay, that was pretty good. Okay, we got about three people in there. So, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Do you have peace with God? That's kind of a double question, isn't it? We have peace. Wait a minute. We don't have peace. Wait a minute. We do have peace. Well, sometimes we don't have peace. Well, sometimes we do. Man, what a dilemma. So I want you to look just a little farther down. I've got it up there. And so it says, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace, meaning the peace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation. Wait a minute. I thought we had peace. What's this tribulation stuff? So let's gain a little clarity here about the difference between the peace of God that we acquire and the God of peace who gives us peace. Ephesians 2:14. I want to just look at that for a second, the God of peace. In verse 14 it says, for he himself is our peace. He is our peace. Who made both, talking about Jew and Gentile, if you look at the context, both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of the commandments, because the law of Moses totally condemns us. And if it wasn't for grace, we wouldn't be here, would we? The law of commandments contained in ordinances so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Yeah. God is the God of peace, and he has created peace between the Jew and the Gentile, between the law of Moses and grace, and given us peace with him. You know, so here's the thing, is we have peace with God and no longer are we at war in our minds with God. And I thought about that yesterday because I saw so many people and I talked with them individually and I could just see that they were at war with God. Some of them didn't believe in God. Some of them were mad at God. Others, one biker came up to me and he said, you know, I talked to George, the man that passed away, and he said, I asked him how he felt about the Lord, and we shared, and I had a really neat experience talking about him with that, and he said, I think that George knew God, and, you know, these kind of things. And so we have all these different people floating around, we have peace with God, my friend. It's done. It's finished. That's done. We can talk to him directly. I never put an amen on my prayers. Do you? Because I want to keep it going. I want to keep a dialogue going with him. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm in my car and I'm going, you know, Lord, you're so great. And I look over and somebody's looking like, whoa. You know, the crazy guy. You know, but at the same time, you know, I have peace with God. Yesterday, And this doesn't happen to me very much because I really know who I am in Christ and the things that he's done for me. And I know that God is in love with me. And you probably find that difficult to understand, okay? But God is in love with me and he's in love with you. And I don't know how he can be so in love with so many people at the same time, but he's God. And yesterday I was sitting in my study and I felt condemned. I thought, what am I doing in the ministry? What am I doing telling people about God? And it was funny because Clyde was kind of telling me a similar thing this morning, and that always comes before a great day, doesn't it? And it was before the funeral, and I thought, you know, Lord, I just don't feel peace. I feel like there's things in my life that are not settled and these kind of things. And I finally had to go to the scripture. This is where the scripture really helps. So I stopped and I quoted Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a great verse? There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And we read in Ephesians that he's eliminated the law of commandments that condemned us. So there's no more condemnation. That's for you and me. He created peace. He created peace with the law of Moses. He created peace between him and you and I. And we have peace with God from the God of peace. And you know, I stopped and I thought, well, what's the problem here? Because people talk to me continually about the fact that they're supposed to have peace, but they don't have peace. And they want to have peace, but the Bible says they have peace. And you know, here's the thing. Christianity has sold us a little bit of a bill of goods in saying that once you come to know Christ, you will experience peace for the remainder of your life. Have you heard that? I mean, maybe that was more in the earlier generation for me, but you will experience peace with God from that point on. And there's a truth to that. We will experience peace with God, but certainly not on this earth, because we are not at peace with this earth, are we? This world is full of sin. You know, and I think about the time that I accepted Christ and how I felt peace. And I recalled as I was studying this, a friend of, that I had met, a psychologist down in South Denver, called me and said, you know, there's somebody that actually lives in your neighborhood, and I'm wondering if you'd be willing to counsel him, because he and his wife are breaking up, and they've got some of our foster kids, and we actually ended up taking one of those foster kids for a couple years. But his name was Ron. And so we sat down and had a few sessions, and I presented the gospel to him. He didn't know Christ. And he had gotten a little apartment to stay in while he and his wife were working out the issues. And so one Friday night, he began to read. He said, what should I read? And I said, why don't you read the book of Romans? That would be a good book for you. And so he began to read the book, and he, you know, he crossed over chapter 5. He read all the way through chapter 10. And it was 2 in the morning when he kind of finished up, and he came to Romans 10:9. It said, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And Ron stopped and said, Lord, this says that I'm supposed to confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And so he said, I'm telling you, you are Lord, and I accept you, and I'm asking you to forgive my sin. All this he's saying by himself, really not even knowing the scriptures other than just reading that. And so he ended up accepting Christ, and all of a sudden, he began to feel like he was having a heart attack. And so he's telling me, Steve, I felt like I was having a heart attack. And so he ran around the room looking for his doctor's number because he did have some heart issues. And he was, it took about 20, 25 minutes, and he finally got the phone number, and he was going to dial it. And he thought, wait a minute, I don't have any chest pain. And he realized, and this is the amazing thing about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reminded him of 5:1. And he said, that's right. I have peace with God. And so he says, Steve, I think I am experiencing peace with God. I have never experienced peace in my life. And he said, in fact, I don't know how to describe this to you, but he said, it's like kind of being born all over again. He says, do you understand what I'm saying? And he said, well, Ron, are you kidding me here? And he goes, no. And so I took him over to John 3, and I said, look, here's what it says, and you must be born again. I said, that's actually a phrase. And he goes, that's it, born again. That's how I feel. And I never had anybody do that. I thought it was kind of neat that he actually captured exactly what happened to him. And so he felt this sense of peace, and he said, man, I just can't believe how at peace I feel. And then we went into his unpeace about his family, about his marriage, and those kind of things. And we worked it out, and he and his wife got back together, and they're still together as far as I know. But here's the thing. He felt a peace with God, but he wasn't at a peace with the world in his life. He had peace for the first time in his life, but yet there were unpeaceful things in his life. And here's the thing. We do not automatically have peace with the world, but we automatically have peace with God. And so we need to call on God. So I want to take you to Philippians 4:6, and some of you are very familiar with this passage, and that's okay. It never hurts to read it again, does it? Some of you may not be familiar with that, and so if you have your Bibles with you, turn to 4:6, because I'm telling you, you need to memorize this if you don't have it memorized. You need to be able to quote it to yourself, because it'll come up with you almost every day. I had a pastor that was smart enough to tell me when I became a Christian and I walked into the church for the first time, I'd trusted Christ on Halloween, and I moved up to Seattle, and it was around Christmas time, and I went up to the pastor and I said, okay, now that I'm a Christian, what am I supposed to do? And he said, you're supposed to go home and then memorize Ephesians 1, the first chapter of Ephesians and 2, 1 through 10, and you're supposed to come back in 3 weeks and quote it to me. I didn't know any better, so I did it. And I went home and memorized all that, and I came back and I said, now what? And he said, go to Philippians 4, 6, and 7, and memorize that, and come back next week and quote it to me. And so I did that. And then finally, after I got going here, I realized I didn't have to do that. You know, that's the way we get as Christians. But this is a couple verses you need. I'm going to read around them, but these are two verses that you need to have tucked away in your heart so that you understand how to have peace in your life. Let's start with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. And I put it in parentheses. The master, the Lord, because Lord means master, the Lord or the master is near, which means he's right here. He's right there to listen to you. Be anxious for nothing. Now, what is anxiety? We always say the word and worry, and we say, what is it? It really is trying to control the uncontrollable. That's what anxiety is. If you go to a psychologist and you say, I'm really anxious, he's going to help you, or a counselor, he's going to help you, or she's going to help you learn to quit trying to control the uncontrollable, because you can't do it, but you think you can. Let me just give you an example. We who've raised teenagers, there are very anxious times while you're raising teenagers, right? Amen? Anybody that's had teenagers? There's that period in which they don't like you and they think you're keeping them from all the fun of the world. And you know that when they drive off in that car, they're probably going to be sucking down a beer or getting wild or getting a ticket. And you get all worried and you think, man, I'm just worried. Well, did you ever think that that absolutely went nowhere, the worry? It didn't do anything for you, and they still drank the beer and still got the ticket and those kind of things. It is part of life because we got it too, right? We did the same thing. And so we get anxious about different things because we can't control it. And as you get older, one of the blessings of getting older is you realize you can't control very much at all. This is pretty much out of control, but we hate to admit that. And so God is saying through the Apostle Paul, don't worry about anything or be anxious for nothing. Quit trying to control the uncontrollable. Here's what you need to do. But in everything by prayer, that's general talking to God, and supplication, those are very specific requests. With what? Thanksgiving, yeah. It isn't just going to God in prayer. But it is going to God in prayer with thanksgiving because you know he's God and he understands and he's going to do what he needs to do for those kids or whatever it is that you're worrying about. And then he says, let your requests, and I love this word because in the original it means the askings. Let your askings be made known to God. Now I want to make a point here. I have heard over the years that, you know, there are certain things you should ask God for and certain things not. I want to clear that up today. What's the word that he uses? But in everything, right? But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your askings be made known to God, and the God of peace, which surpasses all understanding, which goes extremely beyond anything we can comprehend, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, as I thought about this, and we're supposed to ask everything, you know, sometimes we make prayer lists and we try to pray them, and I'm one of those guys that, man, I just have a hard time. I can take a prayer list at the time and pray for it, and that's fine, but if I do it repetitiously, I just fail at it. I'm sorry. I'm confessing my sin here. I just have a hard time with that. When God brings it to mind, I pray. But when I try to do a list, it's real tough. And I've done that over and over and over in my life. It just doesn't work for me. And let me tell you why I think that is. When we pray about things that have no meaning to us, it's very hard to pray. For instance, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, give us this day our daily bread, right? And so when Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, there were times when they didn't have bread. And so they had to pray for the bread. But in America, do we have to pray for bread? Not very much. You know, in fact, look at this is how we operate now. You know, 100 years ago, you had to pray for bread because what if a storm came and wiped out your crop and you had no food? Man, you'd have to pray for bread. And a lot of the farmers, and I've worked in farming communities, and they would share a lot of times and that kind of thing. But let's take all of us that live more in the city here. We have bread every day. We have food every day. We can have three meals if that's what we want. We usually don't because we're trying to lose weight. You know, but I mean, that's the way it is. And you know, and let's say you run out of money. And you get to the end of your month and you have no money left. Well, you take your credit card and you get your food and come home with it, right? And so we don't have any consequences in terms of not being able to eat and that kind of thing. But let's say you run out of money and you can't pay your rent. Ooh, we want to pray, right? Now it's time to get into prayer. And so I think in our society, we live in the richest society that has ever been since the beginning of the world. And so it's hard for us to pray sometimes. And I just want you to understand that it's not just you. It's hard to pray for something that isn't real, but when it gets down to those things that we worry about, we get anxious about, then we can pray. Because those are uncontrollable, and those are the things to grow in our life. People around us that are having marriage issues or whatever, those things we can pray about, and they have meaning in our life. You know, we pray, and I had brought this up in previous sermon, that a lot of times we pray and we try to tell God how to answer that prayer, don't we? It's very frustrating to me. It's kind of like if let's take our rent and we might pray, you know, God, will you move in the heart of Tom, who I know has a lot of money, to send money to us so that we can have rent? And will you answer that in Jesus' name? Amen. And so, now I know that's getting a little carried away, but we do kind of pray that way, don't we? And you know what? And I have said this before in a previous message, but here it is. God never answers the prayer the way you pray. I have never yet had God follow my plan. And I have given him some darn good plans, and he's never followed them. Because he has all kinds of ways he can answer those plans. And so, today, here's the essence of what I want to say to you. When you pray, just tell God what the problem is and let it go. It's going to cut down your prayer life a little bit. But just say, you know, Lord, I'm out of money for rent. Will you help me? And I thank you for the house. I thank you for the life that you've given me. I thank you for Jesus Christ. Because, Lord, I truly am thankful. But I need your help. And, you know, this month I prayed that very prayer because the first month we fell short on the on our budget and didn't meet all our needs. And so this month I thought, you know, Lord, almost every day I said, look, Lord, you know what we have here. We don't want to worry about the money. We want to get after the ministry. So God, just please meet the need. I tried to carry it out for 20 minutes. I couldn't get there. It was only two sentences and that was it. And he met our need. And he did it through amazing, amazing ways. Some checks came across my desk that I didn't expect. People gave like crazy. And he answered that prayer. God, just help us. I just want to read through you from verse 8, just for you to think about this, because I think God wants to keep us in a positive attitude. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, and the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do or practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Isn't it great to know that we have a God that we can experience peace even in this world? I love it that I'm at peace with him. I never, ever in my mind think anymore that God and I aren't at peace, because we are. But it's nice to know that I can be peace, have peace on this earth. And when I get all riled up and all worked up, I can stop and say, wait a minute, Lord, will you take care of this in my life? Do you see the difference? We're not at peace with the world, but we're at peace with the God of peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that you're such a gracious God, that even when we feel condemned, you love us to death. Even when things are going wrong in our life and things are falling apart and we're losing our job or we can't pay our rent or things are coming, you are near and you are listening and you love us, and somehow you keep us going. And we don't know how you do that. And Lord, it's exciting to see you work. And I pray that we will stop telling you how to answer the prayers and begin to ask you to solve our issues. And may we be more and more like you each day, in Jesus' name.
You know, speaking about peace, December the 10th, 1970, approximately 5:30, was the first time I ever experienced peace. I grew up, my life was nothing but a total wreck. I had just started a motorcycle gang, and we were going to be a gang. We called ourselves Rosemary's Children. And the Sons of Silence were just getting started, and Mike Weaver and his brother and them wanted us to take over the Commerce City chapter. And we were all goofed up. My wife had left me 5 times. I didn't have a clue about life. And somebody came to me and said, Clyde, if you died right now, where would you go? And I said, I'd go straight to hell. He said, why? And I said, because I've been mean and horrible, and I pulled a lot of crap on a lot of people, did a lot of stuff. I know where I'm going. He said, what if I can tell you I can go to heaven? Would you be interested? And I said, what? He said, what if I can tell you that you can be forgiven of all your sins and that you can go to heaven? Would you be interested? And I said, yeah, I'd be interested. You mean I can be forgiven for all the stuff I ever pulled on people and all the bad things I've ever done in my life? He said, yes. So we went through the Romans road. And in Romans 3:23, it says that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And in Romans 6:23, he says, the wages of sin is death. And that death he's talking about there is a separation from Almighty God. But he didn't stop there. He said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, I want to explain to you, Clyde, about this gift called eternal life. Are you interested? I said, absolutely. We went through Romans 10. He said, if you would confess with your mouth, Clyde, and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and that he is Lord, you would be saved. And then in verse 13, he said, whoever calls upon him will be saved. And there in my living room, I got on my knees and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. And I haven't been the same since. Because for the first time in my life, I experienced peace. I had never one time in my life experienced peace. I was always in turmoil. A lot of these guys thought, oh, that's a cool guy. He knows how to fight good. He gets drunk. He does all this stuff. But inwardly, I was dying inside. I was scared. I was lonely and didn't know where I was going until Christ came into my life. And today I can stand before you and tell you, yes, I understand the peace of God. Yes, I'm here today because of the peace of God. I have nothing else to offer. I don't want to tell you about anything. I only want to tell you about Jesus Christ who lives inside of me. And at times he comes out and tries to grab you. Just like it says in 2 Corinthians 5, we are ambassadors for Christ. Though he's trying to plead through us, what is he trying to plead? Be reconciled to God as he pulls on us and tries to coax us and talk to us through our spirit and through the Holy Spirit. As you've heard this morning, as Steve has preached about peace, he did it for me. What an awesome God, huh? That it's so simple that a little kid can understand it. We've seen this week a bunch of those little kids come to Christ. And that's what gets hard sometimes, is that it's so easy that we try to make it hard. So the question this morning is, have you truly experienced His peace? Have you settled it with Christ? Have you come to the point in time in your life when you said, Lord, here I am. I'm right here. And I know all my life you've been trying to reach me. I know there were times in my life I thought about you. But today here I am, coming to my life. Can we bow our heads for just a moment? And that may be you. You couldn't honestly say if you died right now that you know that you'd go to heaven, but you want to. Would you pray with me this morning? Pray this prayer. Lord God, come into my heart. Come into my life and change me. I want your peace. I want your understanding. And I know you love me. Here I am, Lord. I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, that He died and rose again. I believe He is Lord. Save me today. If you've prayed that prayer, I'd just like to ask you, don't raise your hand to me. I want you to raise it to the Lord and say, here I am. Raise it up and put it right down. Thank you. Who else? Thank you. Who else? Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Can I get you to look up here for a moment? And I want you to all stand. For you that just prayed and asked Christ into your life, you will begin to understand the peace of God. But let me tell you something. Am I saying that life will be easy? No, I'm not saying that. Will He give you the strength and power to go through it? Absolutely. He will. He will. He never gives up on us. I ran into a Christian the other day and she said, you know, my mom died 3 years ago and I just turned my back on God. And I said to her, I said, ma'am, that's okay, because He has not turned His back on you, and He still loves you, and He still wants to be in your life, and He still wants to hold you and let you know that it's going to be okay. And there is life, and there is peace, and there is understanding for you, ma'am. And she turned to walk away, and she came back by, and she goes, you're right. You're right. I know I'm right about this one. I know I'm right about this one. Will we give, let's stand and let's just give our Lord an applause and hand of thanking Him for who He is in our life. Thank you, Lord. And for you that prayed today, I got my young guys at the door. They have a card for you. God bless you, and we will see you next Sunday. We love you, Lord.